I'd encourage you to follow along with me in your bulletins in the sermon outline this morning. My text is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You're probably most familiar with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But this morning we're going to be dwelling on this last message that I have for you on enlargement of heart. And specifically in way of actions of the heart. Actions of the heart. We have quite a few famous quotes in English circles that are very well known and kind of flow from our tongue very quickly and easily. Actions speak louder than words is a very common one. Your actions show what your heart is made of, another one. Faith without actions is dead, as we are reminded from James chapter 2 this morning. Every action of our lives touches on some chord that will vibrate in eternity. A young man was pouring out his heart's devotion to his beloved in way of a note, and he was writing something along these lines. Darling, darling, I would climb the tallest mountain for you, swim the widest sea, cross the burning desert for an opportunity just to see you. Love your honey bear. P.S. I hope to see you on Saturday if it doesn't rain. If actions of the heart originate from anywhere, they originate from love. And if love is to be seen at its best, I believe it is seen best in the love of God. The actions of God are here before us in Ephesians chapter 2. Looking at verse 4, I read, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions." God's love resulted in his action of salvation for us. For us. Perhaps next to John chapter 3, verse 16, a well-known verse for us as Christians. Probably the next most common verse we would well recognize is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. 2, 8, and 9 reads like this, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." There we often pause, and we dwell on that. But our greatest error is that we go no further. For if Christianity is anything, it is a course of action and a call to action. Because of God's great love for us, we therefore have to involve ourselves in action. We see this in verse 10, if we would but continue to read. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God is continuously working within us, bringing us up into maturity, shaping our hearts, growing our faith, so that we would be men and women of action. For all fashion of action comes from God if our true heart's devotion is towards Him. There is an old-fashioned stone cutter that had gained a piece of marble. And as he looked at that piece of marble that he had gained from the quarry, he put it on his bench, and he got out his hammer and his chisel. But before he actually laid that chisel and hammer to the stone, he took that piece of stone and rolled it around in his hand, and he looked at it. put it on his bench again, stepped back, looked at it again, came up to it, felt it, rolled it around, looked at its different sides, put it on his bench again. Then he thought, until he had a clear picture in his mind of what he wanted to create out of that piece of marble. Only then did he take his chisel and his hammer and start chipping away at that stone, carving it, cutting it here, shaping it there, and then finally polishing it to a smooth feature. All this he did to gain his finished product, the product that he had had in his mind all along. Such is the work of God upon our hearts and upon our lives. God sees us, and he has this perfect image of us, this mature image of us. And he takes his chisel and his hammer, and he knocks off the rough edges, shaping us, cutting us, and sometimes just painfully cutting us, and then polishing us smooth until he has that perfect, perfect picture that was in his heart, that was in his mind for us. Our greatest work, I believe, is to soak in God's love, like Mary did when she was found at the feet of Jesus. Martha was running around, busy to, you know, get the meal together, accommodate the disciples in the house, and she was concerned after her sister that seemed to be doing nothing, just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And so she complained to Jesus and said, "Jesus, what's with Mary? Like, look at her. She's not doing anything to truly benefit the cause here of feeding all you guys and caring for you guys." And Jesus said these words to her. He said of Mary, "But a few things are needed that are indeed only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I guess when we look at action, we have to see that the greatest action that we can afford is first of all and primarily to soak in love of Jesus Christ, to know that love for our hearts and our lives. I think perhaps the greatest prayer that is offered in the New Testament, and the one that I love dearly, is found in Ephesians chapter 3. And this prayer is for the Ephesian church that Paul prays. And beginning at verse 14, I would read that for you this morning from verse 14 to 19. It's not up on the screen, but I'd like you to turn to that if you have your Bibles with you. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." How high, how deep, how wide, how long is the love of Christ for you, for us? Do you hear the soaking that is necessary in our hearts and our lives? I believe that really is a part of what we do when we come to worship on Sunday morning, when we sing these songs of great adoration to God. We long for our hearts to have that great love, but first of all, we need to feel and sense God's great love for us. We need to pray this prayer again and again over ourselves and over each other, that we can know this love, experience this love, and so have all the fullness of God within us, and therefore enable us to really love on other people. Because if we don't, really our love becomes something of just a duty, maybe a responsibility to other people around us. And somehow our hearts become hardened with that. But when we realize that we have received so abundantly and so richly and so magnificently the love of God, that we can't reach far enough to find the end of it, either in the height or the depth or the width of it, we can never extend ourselves far enough to fully experience everything of God's love. But the more we experience it and know it for ourselves, the more we are enabled. It's the love of God that finds us regularly and continually soaking in that, that we become the people that we need to be, people that worship. Secondly, actions have a ripple effect. Loving God and loving others are connected. Jesus instructed his disciples to love one another. Jesus taught his followers to love their neighbors. Jesus even taught his disciples to love their enemies. How do you do that? Christianity went viral in the first century because those who dared to follow Jesus and love others did something amazing that the world had never experienced before. When people came in contact with that kind of love, they were amazed. And they said, I want to know how these people can love like that. Have you ever noticed that when you drop a small rock into a pool, that first of all, that rock hits the water and there's a slight little splash. But with that splash comes an ever-widening, enlarging ripple effect. That small little incident covers a huge and wider area because of those ripples. That little love that we give to another person, to that need that that person has that widening ripple effect in our lives, in their lives, in all the lives that that person has and comes in contact to. That ripple effect even reaches out past their lives and other people's lives into eternity, into eternity. If you really want to do something that has lasting value, it's not carving a marble statue of yourself. It's not writing a great tome or a book that people will read and say, wow, that guy was so intelligent. It's not even doing some great exploit, great sacrificial exploit. No, folks, I believe that the greatest thing that people can say and remember us by will be love. We put love into action, we find ourselves drawing closer to God because He is a God of love. When we put love into action, we will certainly be a cost to us in way of our worldly goods, our time, our energy. But God's kingdom is being built. In this present time, we are wasting our time if we are not loving other people and building God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, sometimes we do get tired. We love on people, and we ask ourselves, where's the love in return? Why don't they smile at me? Why don't they acknowledge or thank me for that love that I've shared to them? They don't even notice it. And so we get jaded. And so we wonder if it really has an effect if it really has that ripple effect. Nothing done for God in this present age will lack in the ripple effect that it has into eternity. That ripple will first be felt initially in that other person's life and in the lives that surround that person. They will experience love. They will experience the kindness that you offer, the warm meal, the cup of coffee, the smile, the handshake. But the ripples affect eternity. Matthew 25, verse 31 and following says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed of My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' The good you have done in this world echoes into eternity, to the point that we are called sheep and not goats. The goodness and love will flow from us for the sake of Christ. When we saw the hurt, the lost, the needy, we saw Christ, and we love them. As we love them, we love Christ." Thirdly, actions are not outweighed by prayer. Prayer is often short-changed in comparison to action. If someone was to examine our prayer life, would they believe it is a crucial and weighty matter for us to be involved in prayer? Or is it something tertiary, a pleasantry, something that we might call a religious requirement in our lives? Can it indeed be fitted into the category of a good work? Ephesians 2:10 says, "Which God prepared in advance for them to do." Could it be really in that category? Sometimes I believe that we as Christians are guilty of viewing prayer as simply a requirement to strengthen the real business, the real action, the real ministry that we're going to be involved with. So we say the prayer. Paul saw fit to include some of his most extraordinary prayers for the Ephesians right here in the text of Scripture. A prayer is a direct appeal to God. If anything is going to be done and to be effective, it must be ordered by God and empowered by God. It indeed is work. It's strenuous. It's hard. It's difficult. But it is also pure joy when we know we're striking at the very root and the foundations of all of existence, because we're addressing the King of Kings, the mighty God. He is the one that is able to affect all things. When we pray, we do battle with spiritual forces that inhabit this dark world. We engage with that which is foundational to the very fabric of our existence. Prayer is the real kingdom work. Paul in Ephesians writes about putting on the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And all the guys are going, "Yeah, putting on the armor, the helmet of salvation, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, you know, the feet shod with the gospel of peace. Yeah, armor." And of course, when we think of armor, we immediately think of battle and strategy and all this kind of stuff. And we think of the hard, strenuous work that is going to be happening. But we look down in Ephesians chapter 6 in the text, and we think, how is this all in way of the spiritual realities that are coming against us? How do we do battle? It's amazing. In verse 12, it talks about the battle. And it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That's what we battle against. After all the armor talk, Paul addresses us in our full armor in verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." You want to be a person of action? You want to see the world change? You want to be immortalized? Be a person of prayer. Prayer is real action. Prayer is dynamic, a force that changes the world and digs down to the very roots and fabrics of reality. In prayer, we rise up against the order of the day and join the transformational armament and arrangement to rebuild and build the kingdom of God's kingdom here on earth. Once we have been exposed to some need and sense God's Spirit prompting us in a certain direction, to give of ourselves, we need to pray about it. We need to ask God to enable. We need to find God's Spirit. And so finding God's Spirit's direction in our hearts to move into action. And so acting, having ripple effects that affect our world, affect eternity. The actions of the heart stayed on God molds us and molds the church. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you. We come before you because you are the great God that is able to affect everything. You said to us, "See that mountain? It can be moved. See that city in the distance? That city we call heaven, it is for you. Keep pursuing it." Lord Jesus, we come before you and ask you that you would help us to act. Act in prayer. Act in action for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of your world, for the sake of eternity, that we would indeed be and show ourselves to be sheep. All for Jesus. All for Jesus.
Let's rise in response to this song. Jesus. All for Jesus. All I am and have. And never hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus. All I am and have, and never hope to be. All of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender. All of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. For it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only in your will that I am free. Yeah. surrender these into your hands. All of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands.
Body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Please be seated.